When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2.
Okay.
Yeah, ready when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is an advice podcast dealing with all of life's problems. We all have problems, and this is the place to share them with other strangers. Though I must remind you, I'm not trained at therapy or medicine or matters of finance. So if you are taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. Mark is here to keep me in check. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Tim.
And I'm angry with Mark. And get angry with him because he comes over here every week and he brings himself, he drinks a bottle of sparkling water and then he sticks it in my recycling. And they've got really strict around my area and recycling, and I don't want his bottle in my recycling.
You've become quite, is the word fastidious? Is that the word?
I don't know.
I think that's a word, isn't it?
It is a word, yeah.
About the place around
here. They've given, can I just tell you, they've given us five different boxes now. And you're not allowed to bag anything up. So everyone can see you're recycling. And it's,
and they're going to go, oh my God, he's got a mate who drinks sparkling water.
It's making me nervous.
Banish him from the area.
Thing is, you look at all the neighbours, some of them go through a lot of alcohol. Because they won't let you put it in bags or anything anymore. So you're not allowed to do that.
They're splitting up.
Yeah. And then, but my problem is that I don't have a lot of paper, don't have a massive amount of food waste, don't have a massive amount of rubbish, but right. It's my plastic cartons just seem to build up. I don't know why.
I'm sorry to add to your
problems.
You
bring more in, and I got embarrassed this week because there was too many, so I've held some back for next
you
week.
You haven't.
I have.
You're turning into my father.
They were dropping over the edges, and I thought they're not going to pick us up.
You've become that word I use that I can't remember.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Because also I've noticed.
Yeah.
This place is. And you have a cleaner. But
not anymore,
place,
I don't.
This place is extremely clean.
Not anymore, I don't, Mark.
What's happened to you?
My cleaner has disappeared for a month. She's gone away, travelling for a month. And so I panicked. I literally panicked. I thought, I know this sounds really poncy, and I'm going to apologise to everyone listening to this. Because I do obviously wash up, and I do my own, obviously, washing clothes, and I do Hoover and stuff every now and then. But cleaning the whole of my house, I just haven't done it in, I don't know, 20 years or something.
You are TV Tim. People don't expect it.
TV Tim. I just did. It's just like, so I thought, I couldn't find anyone. It was becoming hassly, so I thought I'd do it myself.
Hassly, that's not a word.
You understood what it meant, so it's fine. It works. That's how the language works. So majority of language, though, Mark, is there's a bit of it is the words.
Usage.
Some of it is tone and some of it is body language. There you go. There's a fact for you. But, you know, I've started...
Not a fact.
I've started cleaning my own house. And I'm...
You're enjoying it, aren't you?
Yeah, I've noticed how much dirt there is. But I've actually started quite enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's like a very strange form of meditation. It's kind of, I kind of do a bit every day. I just quite like it. I think I'm going to keep doing it. I know this sounds so poncy for most people who have to do it as a chore.
Using it as mindfulness.
I'm using it as mindfulness. Do you know what? I am. I'm really kind of enjoying it. And yeah, I've just got to get a few more products now and a few more tools for the trade. I think.
Like what? What do you
need? I think I need a new Hoover, you know, and I need a better mop. And
flash power mop.
The mopping's the bit that I haven't mastered yet. That's the bit I'm worried about because it kind of the floor gets wet and I don't really know the drying.
Are we gonna have a cleaning date at some point then?
Yeah, you could come over and teach me. You like cleaning, don't you?
Yeah.
So you could come over and teach me some. We end up having a huge conversation the other week about cleaning, and he's telling me what products to use, and he was telling me to use a glass cleaner on everything.
Yeah.
Because
apart from wood.
Apart from wood, okay. Should we have a little trip to Ego Corner, Mark?
Are we finished with cleaning now, have we?
Are
you sure the listeners don't want to hear more about how we like cleaning our houses?
Well, unless anyone's got some tips. If you've got any really good hacks or good tips for cleaning stuff, I would like those. But
can we have a life hack cleaning special at some point?
I tend to I don't know how your cleaning process works, but toilets are the dirtiest things, but they're quite easy to clean. So I'm doing my toilet... all the toilets in the house, I do them every couple of days, and that way there's never a build up, you know.
By build up, what do you mean?
Just dirt and grime, you know. No, my toilets are clean. We've got clean people here. I've taught my children well. Right, let's go into a little bit of Ego. This comes from Alid. Hey, Mark and Tim, just an update. What has he done there? He's ruined this, isn't he? Just an update. Thank you for reading out my email the other week. I've never had anything read out before. I took your advice and made a mind map. I'm writing after work, actually, help take my mind off the stressful work. And I'm pleased to say I've written my first draft of my script. Remind me, Mark, what did we help Alid with? He'd lost a lot of weight.
Alid, yes, he was in an unhappy relationship, I remember, and he had put on a load of weight, and he was in a job he didn't like. And he told us that he'd sorted his weight out and his job and his situation.
Yeah. And his next target...
And I think it was all down to us.
It's down to us. Next target is to start this podcast. He wanted to do a podcast.
That's right, film podcast, I think.
Thanks again for great advice. So I've got to tell you, by the way, we're doing this, I think, on the hottest day of the year.
Because we're going out later. I'm worried that people will think I've come in fancy dress as a sweat gland. I'm so hot.
On the way here today, I was telling Mark earlier, I sat on a tube and I suddenly realised the seat I was sitting on was wet from sweat. And I was like, this is disgusting.
You can see my head's actually dripping.
Yeah, your head is different. It's so hot. But we shouldn't moan because apparently it's what we want all year round. Not that I've ever asked for it, nor have you. I quite like the rain. Anyway, let's not be whingy and moany. Sharon, going on Ego Corner, says, dear Lovejoy. And the other guy, what's his name? That's better.
She didn't say that.
She did, look there. And the other guy, what's his name? Then put a smiley face.
How rude.
Let's readdress the balance, though. First time writer, I just wanted to say how much I've been enjoying your podcast. Hilarious. Hilarious. They're not supposed to be hilarious. Sharon, this is serious stuff. Thoughtful, yes, we are thoughtful. And amusing in equal measures. Amusing, we're not amusing either. The Sleep Podcast.
Our listeners can vouch for that.
The Sleep Podcast I thought was particularly fascinating, although it took me a while to actually finish it as I kept falling asleep. Boom, boom. Luckily, I don't have any trouble falling asleep, but on the odd occasion, when thoughts are whirring around my head and my mind won't shut down, I use an amazing guided mindfulness meditation. Have you tried any? They're great and guaranteed to relax and send you drifting off. I have tried mindfulness, those sort of meditation things at night, but I end up just concentrating on what the person's saying. And
there's the one called Headspace, isn't there? It's an app.
Yeah, there's lots of them on there. Lots of people do them. And I'm fine during the day, but at night it doesn't seem to work for me. Dr. Krieger mentioned that sleep as a subject isn't given enough time in medical training, yet it's crucial to health and well-being. Fact, that is true. But then so too is nutrition, she says, vital to health and preventing disease, yet barely taught in medicine. Having the right diet can cure many ailments, improving your concentration and give you more energy. And yes, turmeric, how do you say it? Turmeric.
Either.
And black pepper works, I swear by it. The right food is also essential in preventing cancer, and I'm sure a man of your intellect knows that already.
Well, the thing I'm worried about that is it sounds like we've got some competition.
Yeah. She says, have you thought about the nutritional expert like Patrick Holford on your podcast? Have you heard of him?
I'm not aware of him.
He says, I recommend his book, Food is Better Medicine Than Drugs, opening. He's a bloody nutritional guru. Then she says, PS, OFC. What does OFC mean? OFC. What's that an acronym for? OFC.
We're looking this up, are we?
Yep. Hold on, let me go onto the computer.
Is it? I hope it's not rude.
OFC, OFC. Is this interesting, me doing this?
This isn't, no.
OFC means... I can't find it. Oh, of course.
Of course. I mean, see, it would have been quicker for her to just write, of course, because we've just had to spend 10 minutes looking that up.
But I don't get it. Where's the... Why not just OC, of course?
She's a millennial. Anyway. She's a millennial.
OFC, you should ask people about their tattoos. I'm always asking people about theirs. It leads to interesting conversations. Keep up the great work. I've been listening to a podcast actually recently on food, and I'm not going to go into it because I listen to a lot of these podcasts on those.
Well, you've used up most of that time looking up the word OFC.
Exactly.
So.
But I'm not going to go into it. But there's a lot to be said for the fact that we've got diet completely wrong in the Western world. For many years,
yeah.
And do you know there's that journalist who did that article, which is the Big Fat Truth about fat and
right.
How fat wasn't that. Anyway, it's a really interesting thing because she is right. Diet needs to be looked into, and you know what the government should really be doing, and the scientists and stuff is saying because there is an epidemic of obesity and diabetes and stuff like that. Stop whatever you're doing and work on what we're eating. Then we need to go to the shops and say, all right, you got to stop stocking all that, like. Apparently sugar's the thing. I don't want to get involved. I don't know enough about it. I haven't got the knowledge. But, you know, if sugar is the thing...
But you know about medicine and farming, so you should have a...
It's very true. We should then be going, right, no more food. And the one thing that I've always said after I heard it, so I copied it, but I've been saying it for a long time, all normal food in supermarkets should be organic. And then
just as a
norm, it shouldn't have organic on it. Every bit of food you try in a supermarket should be organic, and then anything that's not organic, and it should be expensive, but that's the price because that's how much it costs to make organic. Then everything which is not organic, it has to say battery farm chickens or
they do
this
now,
is
don't
not
they? On eggs. They say caged hens.
This is not organic. This is not good food or whatever. So that's how it should be labeled.
Yeah.
So you know what you're getting and stuff. But I think the way we eat food is really needs to be looked at. But that's getting serious. Should we get on with that? How's the greasy coffee diet going, by the way?
Very good, thank you.
You're looking
yes.
well.
Thank you very much. So are you, Tim? You look great.
Are you still happy with it? How long are you going to do it for?
A couple more months. That was nice. What was that?
I took a drink of water and an ice cube ended up going in my mouth. Apologies for that.
My brother will love that.
Yeah. Anyway, so you're enjoying your... Are you eating less food?
No, I'm eating more. I wasn't eating enough by the look of it. Because I was on that soup thing, wasn't I, for a few months? And I put weight on.
Yeah, that wasn't good. He was just eating cold soup from a thing. Anyway, today's problem.
And I brought around plastic cartons.
Because it's... Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. My recycling. Recyclers don't like me around here. The local MPs.
Recyclists.
They're going to come and the local MPs and knock on my door.
Another word.
I've got blooming Al Gore going to be knocking at my door soon, going, how many plastic pots have you got, Lovejoy? Right, now, this week it's too hot to do proper problems, so we're going to do basic housekeeping problems. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bang through them. So we're in sort of a full swing. It's dating season now, isn't it?
Dating season?
Because the dating season runs from spring through to October. Maybe
what? When everyone's hot and sweaty and unattractive.
That's when the dating season is, and then then it cools down. There's no point in dating. You're sort of going into hibernation. Christmas, there's a little blip due to alcohol, and then all through January, February, it's no dating. And the end of February, it kicks in again, the dating season. So the majority of the year is dating season, but there are a few months where, you know, it's just not worth it, really.
That was
a fact.
Complete cobblers.
No, it's not. It's a fact. You just don't know it. If you actually look at yourself, when you're in November, you're thinking, oh, yeah, sort of October-ish November, you'll be thinking, beginning of December, you think, I can't be bothered to date anyone. I'm just like, it's boring. January, you'll be the same. Christmas, you will. Spring, summer. Anyway, let's get on with our first problem. Comes from Anne. First date. Dress or casual jeans stroke top. Now, this is interesting, this, because if you are going to go on a first date, it is dating season, as I just said. The last thing you need to worry about is what you look. You know what you look like. You know you've got a good outfit, right? For me, it would just be If I was going out, it would just be jeans and a t-shirt. It's easy, you know, that's just comfortable.
It says, I care, but not that much.
Yeah, you've got to go with the basics. Something that suits you, something that you feel comfortable in. Comfort is definitely the key with this. You don't want to be sitting there...
Trussed up like a turkey.
Yeah, and you don't want to be sitting there with a pair of jeans that are too tight, a pair of shoes that aren't comfortable, a top that's slipping off or whatever. You just want to and do your hair normally, just go basic. What is your basic outfit? First date. And
also, you're giving the other person the worst case scenario.
I don't think you are.
I think it's a good thing. Give someone the worst case scenario. So you go, look, this is me on a standard day.
Yeah, I think you're selling them the way you are. This is me on a standard.
That's what I meant.
Well, what do you mean? Dressing up is better? Because I don't like...
I think
people
right.
on the standard day.
Yes, yeah. And I think you're going, this is the worst case scenario. If I look good like this, then...
When I was a kid, I used to be really into fashion. Like, so ridiculously into fashion. I used to go...
We've seen the mullets,
Tim. Yeah, from Hertfordshire up to London. And I used to go clubbing, and I was in all the weird and wonderful clubs in town. I used to make my own clothes as well. So I'd often... I can show you a load of jackets. I still got some. So I'd always be making my jackets. I'd be adapting them and doing all sorts of weird and wonderful things. I remember going out in leggings and sandals once. But you laugh now, but it was cool. But I remember there was a time where I sort of...
leggings and socks.
Yeah, I used to wear leggings. But that was cool, men in leggings. I just remember there was a time where I was wearing... And this really kicked in with me. I was wearing long shorts, pinstripe shorts. Down to my knees, so like culotte type things. Then I was wearing these sort of loafery... And then white socks up to the knees. And I promise you, it was really fashionable. A really cool blazery type jacket thing. And a really sort of frilly shirt. And I remember
this was just after Prohibition. When was this?
This was... I can't remember. Anyway, so I'm up in town and I bump into a load of people from where I come from. And they were just laughing at me and going, what are you wearing?
It sounds like... You warranted it, maybe.
No, because I looked all right in the clubs and stuff. But what was interesting, I loved it, because those days clubs weren't about Grey Goose and all that rubbish. Right. Sitting there, if Grey Goose wants to sponsor this, by the way, we really like you. But that wasn't about getting a table and getting a bottle of thing and money. Clubs were about dressing up. I don't think club promoters made a lot of money. You know, Philip Salon and Steve Strange, all that lot were doing them back then. And I think they were just doing it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And we used to get in those clubs and everyone was dressed up. And it was about the music and the scene. It didn't cost a lot of money really to go out. So, you know, and it was all about the clothes. But when I would dress like that, then I just remember people looking at me and I thought one day, God, I feel a bit uncomfortable. And it was around that time. I remember also the acid house scene, which was about all comfort really.
Baggy, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but When it first started, right at the beginning of it, we used to all wear cut-off denim shorts and trainers, like basketball shoes. I know that sounds weird, but it was all about going into the clubs and dancing. And I remember going out when I had cut-off denim shorts. I had a pair of big basketball shoes on. I had a T-shirt, maybe with a smiley face or maybe not, that type of thing. That sounds too cliche now, but I probably was. I had big earrings because I had a lot of, you know, I had my earrings then. And I was wearing
earrings?
Yeah.
You had your ears pierced?
Both of them, yeah. So I was having my big
ears. Let's have a look. Take the headphones off. Ah, okay.
And so my big hooped earrings, and I was wearing a bandana because we wore bandanas into nightclubs then. And I remember my dad, and
Axl Rose.
It's the one thing my dad said. No, it was not that sort of look at all. But it was one thing my dad said, which my dad's boring as hell, but generally with his comments. But he looked at me and said, why are you dressed as a pirate? And I just thought that's one of the funniest things he ever said. So, look, first date, go somewhere comfortable also. Don't go somewhere ridiculous.
Poncy.
Yeah, please. Just go somewhere comfortable. If you're going to eat sensible food, don't go anything you're going to struggle with. Go basic. First date, just concentrate always on just good conversation and why you are a nice, normal person if you are. Have fun. Don't get involved in politics. So I did go on a date with a girl who educated me once all about Marxism. And I did find that pretty ace.
Yeah.
So we started a little political discussion because I couldn't resist it. And then she knew so much about politics and the history of it. She started educating me on Marxism. I was like, wow, this is fantastic. Look, another piece of...
So yay or nay to politics?
Test the water, but I'd be careful with it. Don't put your political views out there. Just test the water a bit. You can do it if that's... Because I quite like doing stuff like that, but be careful with it. The other one, because I'm doing a bit of housekeeping today, just good housekeeping. Be careful, people in sunglasses. people always look hotter in sunglasses. You can move from a 6 to an 8 with a pair of sunglasses, a 4 to a 6.
Good tip.
A 5 to a 7.
That's why I always wear mine.
Yeah, be very, very careful because guys and girls in sunglasses.
Especially look those really massive ones that cover like 60% of the
face.
They
look a lot hotter. Because
it makes your head look smaller. Yeah,
girls and boys, it works for both. Be careful in people in sunglasses. Don't drink too much, otherwise you will make bad decisions. The Buddhists always say,
oh, here we go,
you can make your own choices, but you can't choose your own consequences. Drunk dates can have terrible consequences. That is a fact, and that is good housekeeping. Let's move on to our next problem. This one, again, a bit of housekeeping. Just join a gym for the first time. Top tips, please. Well, okay, tips on this. Do the stuff you enjoy. That's important. If you go, if you're going on a running machine and you hate it, or a step machine and you hate it, you're going to go a couple of times and you give up. Try and find something that you enjoy. It doesn't matter what you do. Just try and find something that you enjoy. Don't spend too long in the gym. You're better off going 20 minutes a day if it means you're going to go.
Yes.
So, and actually, you can do quite a lot in 20 minutes.
Well, you're supposed to do the thing I read that I've been doing recently is you do one repetition of each thing, but yeah, you do it until it hurts and then you stop.
Okay, well, there's a million different things. But
it only takes 20 minutes.
But if you know you're going to do 20 minutes, you go and do 20 minutes, go and have a shower, you're out in half an hour, then it's never a problem. You knew that 7 days a week. You won't care about that because it doesn't get in the way of your day. If you're trying to bang out an hour and a half, then, you know. But if you enjoy it, you might want to do that. So just work out what you need to do. You could do something like swimming and you get a full body workout for 20 minutes, you know. So make sure you're having fun, as I say. Important thing, no kettlebells. Do not touch kettlebells.
Why is this?
Because every single person that I've gone to see about my blooming back, if I ever mention this podcast that I had a back operation.
That rings a bell.
Well.
Not a kettlebell, obviously, but it rings a...
They say no kettlebell training. They all say it. That it's just swinging kettlebells around. It's so bad for you. You know, if you've got absolutely ripped core and you've, you know, you're like strong, solid core, you might be all right doing it. But if you're like most of us and you're going to swing a kettlebell around, you're going to start putting a lot of stress and strain through your joints and back. Don't swing anything around. Be really careful with weights as well. Don't go too heavy on them, especially things like squats. And my back surgeon said to me the amount of people he's got coming in now because the regime in the gym is a lot of deadlifts and squats.
Right.
And he said they're quite hard to pull off. And, you know, you need strength. And the problem with it is a lot of men and a lot of women now actually are doing lifting is the idea is to get as heavy a weight as possible, isn't it, to do it. Actually, don't put as heavy a weight on.
Medium weight repetitions.
And do it slowly.
Yeah.
Negative reps are good. Anyway, let's not get involved in that. So says us sitting here, we've hardly got the best bodies in the world, have we?
Hey.
You
come
nearly
on,
have.
Come on.
Change it up. Don't push too hard or you'll get injured. Remember that. And remember the Buddhist saying, the gym is good, but remember it's 80% diet anyway. Think about what you're eating if you're looking for a different body. Let's go on to this one. I don't know whether to buy a new car or not. Mine works well enough. Am I just being indulgent? I think everyone who listens to this podcast knows the answer to this. Wait 30 days, mate. That's all you got to do on this. You wait 30 days and it'll become crystal clear. As the Buddhists say, wait 30 days and it becomes crystal clear.
As the Buddhists say, put it on the shopping list. Put it in your basket, but don't buy it.
Just wait 30 days on anything you want to buy, which you're not sure about. Wait 30 days. I've taken my own advice. I went to the shops the other day. I was killing a bit of time. I was strolling around and I saw a handheld steamer for your clothes. And I thought, that's what I need. That'll be better than an iron. £65.
Yeah.
And I thought, I want that. And then I thought, will I use it? And then I thought, wait 30 days. The Buddhists will tell you.
And the creases will have fallen out by then.
So I've decided to wait. So it's been about 4 days now. So in 26 days' time, please remind me someone whether I bought the handheld steamer. If everyone has got a handheld steamer out there, could you let me know, do they work? Are they any good?
Ironing, that's another good mindfulness thing.
Oh, I hate it.
Why? I like it.
Maybe I should try it again. No, I don't like ironing. That's why I wanted to do the steamer. And I don't like ironed creases in shirt sleeves and things like that. So when I'm at work, at Sunday brunch, they've got a steamer there, but it's a big proper one.
Oh, wow.
So it's really good for
steaming. You and Simon always look immaculate. So you've been steamed, have you?
I've been steamed. Well, they iron or steam sometimes, but I like to go in there and do my own ironing and own steaming sometimes.
Oh, you really are a man of the people,
Tim. I certainly am. Let us know if those steamers work, though. Here's our email address.
you got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
At Tim Lovejoy.
Yeah, is that Tim Lovejoy? I've got a couple of quick ranty ones now. Can you pack my... This is on Twitter. This is from Sherry. Oh, by the way, the last one was from M. Smith, because I didn't mention their name, who was talking about the car. Did I mention who was in the gym? Because I like to give people... That was Rowena, who wanted to know about the gym. So this is from Sherry. Can you pack my case, please? I need a holiday. I'm going to get a bit ranty now, Mark. I don't normally do this, but
Shall I go for a coffee?
It annoys me, the word need in there. No one needs a holiday. This is a modern thing, isn't it? One of my exes used to always say that. She used to go, I need a holiday. I've been working so hard. I need a holiday. You do not need a holiday, you idiot. You do not need it. You
not
want
the listener.
It.
Not the listener.
Oh, the listener. Sherry, she's not an idiot at all. But you might want it, but you do not need it. All you need is water and air and some calories. You do not need a holiday.
And a handheld steamer.
And a handheld steamer. But this has become a real marketing thing for holiday companies. You need to get away on holiday. And I'm not convinced that holidays are the greatest things in the world anyway. They can be amazing. You can see some amazing sights. You can have some amazing time. It can be very relaxing if you've got a stressful job, but it also can be horrific as well. I always think the problem with holidays is you have to take yourself away with you.
Say that again.
The biggest problem with holidays, you have to take yourself away with you.
You want to leave you at home.
If you could leave yourself at home, I think the holiday would be a lot better, because I am the cause of a lot of my stress. So if I'm going to Spain, I'll still be doing the same thinking in Spain as I do in Britain.
I think that's what they call heroin.
No. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Or acid or something. Yes. I've never done anything like that. Right. Maybe I should take a trip.
We're not cool though, are we? We don't do those sort of things.
Maybe acid. I'm not sure I fancy it personally. I'm too scared of that sort of stuff. Anyway, I don't know if you are going on holiday though, because what a lot of people do, they want to go on holiday because they want to go crazy and they just want to sex everyone. You can do that in the UK if you want to. You can just get on with it if you want to. What, you know, if you're the sort of person who needs once a year to go away for a fortnight and sex the whole resort, then that person's trapped inside you. You should just start doing it in Britain, because that's what you want to do. That is who you are. Don't let it all be trapped up. Just go down your local high street, or go to someone else's high street in Britain and fill your boots, if that's the sort of person you are. Take a holiday in your home as well. I always think that's a good idea. And I've done it once. I've got to be honest with you. I give a lot of advice here, which I don't do. But if you take a holiday in your home, it means you don't do anything apart from really basic cleaning up. You can go out for meals whenever you want. You don't do any jobs or chores around the house. You don't do any work. You don't answer the phone. All you do is have a good time for a week.
But you only work one day a week, so you're technically mostly on holiday.
I work 52 weeks of the year.
Let's move on. Those Christmas ones are definitely pre-recorded, and don't tell me otherwise.
52 weeks a year, mate. Cheryl says, hi, Tim. Do we like this new version of just cracking through them?
I'm enjoying it.
Okay, this was another rant. Well, okay, hi, Tim. What is the crack with the weather today? Yes, it's blooming hot, but that's good, apparently. Don't moan about it. And B, this obsession with Love Island, I'm perturbed mostly by B. I tell you why people like Love Island. People like gossip over the fence. They always have done, they always will do. People like voyeurism. They always have done, they always will. They like peeking out the curtains, the net curtains or whatever. And people like sex. Voyeurism plus gossip plus sex equals Love Island. That's why people are watching it. There's no mystery to this. I don't know why
need to be very careful. You're sorting out the world so quickly, we might not have to do a podcast over again.
I can do it quickly. Why is everyone getting so uptight about Love Island? People are moaning and whinging about it. Just don't watch it. That's why you've got a million channels on your telly. Self-censorship is the most underrated thing in the world. I don't like certain presenter. Don't watch the presenter and then go on Twitter and complain about him. Don't, or her. Don't watch it. I don't like this programme. Don't watch it.
I always find that really funny when the Euros or the World Cup's on. They go, yeah. Oh, there's football on.
There's a million channels. Don't watch it. And why would you hate something just because everybody else loves it? I've watched Love Island once, Mark, with my daughters.
And?
It is what it is. It's not something that I want to watch every single night of the week, but I didn't mind it. It was quite interesting. All right. So basically, it's a load of girls and guys. They get together and they gossip about each other, and then they give them mobile phones to stir it up. It's just watching people live life. It's an experiment, you know. It's like a rats in a laboratory, yeah. And it's quite good because the guys are attractive, the girls are attractive, so they're all a level playing field. I actually find a lot of it unattractive, by the way, but it's, you know, there was a period in the 80s. I remember where everyone was working out in gyms, 90s, maybe the 90s, yeah, 90s. And everyone put on like a stone. I actually didn't. I was playing a lot of football then. I didn't see the point in that. But a lot of the guys who weren't doing that. So you went into nightclubs. So a lot of guys in very, very tight T-shirts with huge muscles, right? And they were all strolling around. And I always felt like slightly inadequate at that time. But, you know, I had the confidence and the hair to to carry it off. Then what happened was when Britpop came along. Suddenly it was skinny blokes in T-shirts with guitars looking rough. No one cared.
Grunge as well.
The market fell out of the bodybuilder. And suddenly there was a lot of these guys going, whoa, I don't need to do this anymore. And the gym thing became sort of more laughable, I believe, for a while. Not laughable, that's not wrong. But they looked slightly awkward because the clothes didn't really fit them. This is what's going to happen, I think, with Love Island and all that. There'll be a band or something come along, or a new Oasis or a new movement or whatever happens. And then people will start going, whoa, I don't look correct. Because at the moment, these guys, have you seen what the guys look like on the show?
No, but I can imagine.
They're absolutely huge. I mean, their bodies are great to look at, it's got to be said. They're absolutely ripped. And I would like to, I always say this, I would love to just spend maybe 2 weeks, a month, absolutely ripped, like one of these huge guys. I'm not sure I'd like to spend the whole of my life like that, but I'd like to be one of those.
Keep it up as well, because it turns to fat very quickly, doesn't it?
I don't know enough about it, but it'd be great to be one of those guys. You walk into the pub and everyone goes, wow, look at the size of him, that'd be huge. Okay, I've hacked through some basic housework for you. Want some life hacks now, some pearls of wisdom, things they don't teach you at school?
TV team in the house. Life hacks, life hacks, pearls of wisdom. Don't let life mug you off. Mug.
I think today we might start with Mark. Mark has one, but I'm not sure about this.
Oh, is that one I sent you the other night?
Well, do you want to go with that or not?
I'm okay with it.
So I'm not sure we should be.
Really?
Doesn't sound very good advice to me, but I'm not having anything to do with this.
Right? So you're distancing yourself from my life hack, are you?
Mm-hmm.
This
is a disclaimer. Tim Lovejoy has nothing to do with this life hack. You can't blame me or sue me or do anything. Read the small print, blah, blah, blah.
If you get a small cut, don't bother using a plaster. Just use a drip of super glue. I cut my thumb the other day on a knife. I can't put a plaster around the end. Look at that thumb.
Yeah.
Look.
I know what you could do is you can use cobwebs, because that's what people have done for centuries.
Yeah, I know. That's good, because I've got a collection of those in a cupboard somewhere.
Just look in the corners of the room, Mark, or go out in the garden.
Drop a super glue. Make sure it's still not bleeding. Drop a super glue
can
on the cut.
Can you... what's the word? Heal? No, it's not heal. Can you...
Stem?
Use...
Okay, go for use.
Super glue on cuts. Can you use super glue on cut? No. These glues are made from a chemical cyanoacrylate. In addition to its usefulness in stopping bleeding in a pinch, it would be associated with less scarring than other methods of closing wounds, but it has some downsides. It can irritate your skin, kill cells, and aggravate infections and poison you to death.
No, it doesn't say that.
I don't know. It doesn't give a bad case for it, does it, really?
No, it's absolutely fine.
And then there's one, the complete guide for using super glue for cuts.
Yeah.
Like, can I just say that I think this is a really bad idea now, because I've got my TV head on here, and I know that if I was on TV, I'd go, do not do that at home, because I think I might have to do some more research on that.
Good though, worked.
Why do you have super glue lying around? Do you just always?
I'm actually staying at a friend's house, and
oh, they had it,
and that, I couldn't find any plasters. They've got this really nice Sabatier knife set, and I nicked myself on the thumb.
Oh no!
And I was bleeding everywhere, and I couldn't find plasters. And I looked in a drawer, and there was a little tub of soup.
Was it the one with the brush or the one with the pointy end?
Oh no, like a drip.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah,
or
just
like
it on.
A pointy end,
yeah, just
not a brush. Yeah, because you can get them with a brush now. Right, okay. That's first life hack from Mark, which don't try.
Dubious.
At home. This is a few from me. Post on social media or message. I haven't written this properly. Oh, yeah. No, it's true. Post on social media or if you get a message.
Mine was bad.
It just doesn't make any sense of our written. Right, what I'm basically trying to say is if you do a post on social media or you do a message and you put it on the internet, make sure it's as though you were saying it in public with your real name attached to it and
face. Right, yeah.
Make sure you wouldn't mind anyone reading it.
Yeah.
And also save gossip for speaking to the for speaking in person.
Or Love Island.
That's the first one.
Still think I'm winning.
If someone is gossiping about someone else to you, they're sure as hell gossiping about you to someone else. Avoid them at all costs. That's a fact. Though, how many people have you met who've never gossiped? Do you gossip?
The way you unpick your own life. The moment you say
it's true, though. If you meet somebody, just keeps on going. Have you heard about so and so? Have you heard about this? Have you heard about that? Know for a fact they're going. Don't ever tell them anything.
Okay, good.
I tell you what, as well. Never be scared ever to say to someone. I was talking to a friend about this the other day. Never be scared to say to someone. You ask me a question. You say, "Oh, Tim, how's blah blah. How's your work going?" And I can just go, "I don't want to talk about it."
Oh, okay.
And it's the most underrated thing because we feel obliged to always be polite, especially British people. There's nothing wrong with just going, "I don't want to talk about it," and just not giving a reason why. Just going, "I don't want to talk about it." I don't want to talk about it. That's a fact. There's a fact for you.
Tim, how's your back? Oh, no, that's a wrong question because you love talking about that.
Have I mentioned that on the podcast? Because I've had a bit of a relapse recently.
Oh, no.
But apparently I'm all right, so that's good. When you go to the bathroom... Oh, this is one I've read online. Oh, I like this one, right? I read this one online the other day. So I thought I'd bring it into the mix because... I thought I'd bring it to the table because I think it's so bizarre. That I like it. By the way, we've got the windows open in the kitchen because it's we do this from my kitchen because it's so hot. So that's an aeroplane going through, landing.
And earlier you heard a giant bee buzzing around.
Yeah, it's called a bumblebee. Or a giant bee. Right, listen to this one. When you get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, close one eye before you turn the light on. That way, when you turn the light off, you'll still be able to see in the dark on your way back to bed. Do you think that works?
I try and guide myself with both eyes closed.
To the toilet?
Yeah.
So then you wee with both eyes
closed? Sit down.
You sit...
At night?
You sit down at night?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Was that an awkward silence or an unawkward silence? It's
quite awkward. I've got a new life hack. If you're going for a wee at night, sit down.
Mine has been better this week than yours.
Got any life hacks? Here's our email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter... Don't stress, we've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
All we've got time for now is the agony aunt. This is where I take on an agony aunt. Though
you've lost it, haven't you? I can see you trying to
shush. Here we go. I'll find it in a minute. Here we go. I found it. So this is where I take on an agony aunt, and I give my answer. Then the agony aunt, Mark reads the agony aunt's answer, and we see who's the winner. I've won the last couple of weeks.
Yes, you've been quite good at this.
Today's agony aunt is who?
It's Dear Abby.
Dear Abby again. Okay. Yeah.
Say again like I use her every week.
You do. You do use her most weeks. But that's fine. If she's good, then she's good. Right, I'm having a problem with my dental hygienist, Gloria. During my appointment, she engages me in conversation, which invariably lengthens the appointment from half an hour to a whole hour. I used to have a hairdresser like that. Oh, you go for a haircut and it'd be an hour and a half and you'd be thinking, oh, please, please just stop and cut my hair.
I had something worse than that. It was actually dangerous. I had that as a driving instructor.
Boy, wouldn't shut up.
She wouldn't stop talking. I had 17 lessons and I didn't pass.
17? Oh, we've discussed this before. That's just madness.
She was talking so much, I hit the back of a car because I was trying to concentrate what she was saying.
What sort of things was
just
she talking about?
She talks about everything and
life. Yeah. Okay. She engaged me in conversation, which invariably lengthens the appointment from half an hour to a whole hour. I wonder if she's being paid by the hour. She giggles like a schoolgirl and stops multiple times during the cleaning to remove tools from my mouth so we can talk. Ah, you see, I always think that's interesting when the dentist asks you questions or the hygienist and they say, you know, they ask you something and you've got tools in your mouth and you're like, what am I going to do? What they need to do is say, wink once for yes, twice for no or something. I don't want to be rude, this person says, but my appointments are on weekdays and I need to go back to work. Occasionally I bought something to read, hoping it would keep Gloria from striking up a conversation, but it never works. Why? How can you read in the dentist chair? I'm now considering changing my dentist because I neither have the time nor the patience to deal with her. Please help. I don't want to talk about it. Try it.
Or
I don't
want to
talk about it. How about you go in there every time and say, Gloria, I've only got half an hour. Do my teeth. That's all I've got. Half an hour. Can we do it in half an hour? Please. I'm sorry to rush you, but I've got to do that. That is my advice. Or go, I don't want to talk about it.
Funny you should say that.
Yeah.
It's pretty similar.
To Dear Abby?
To what Abby says.
Go on, what's she show?
Or whoever writes it. When you go to your next appointment, the first words out of your mouth should be to tell Gloria that you don't have time to talk and must be out there promptly in 30 minutes. If she can't comply, which I think is funny, discuss it with your dentist so he, she can remind Gloria that her relationship with patients isn't personal but professional and discourage small talk. The dental practice is a business, and if the situation is as you describe, Gloria could book twice as many patients as she's seeing now if she curtails the small talk. What you said.
Exactly right. Yeah.
I think draw. Are you happy with the draw on that one? Don't know if you want to get a late winner. Have you got any more advice on that?
No, I think we drew that one. I think that's it. Right, that's it for this week's podcast.
Wow.
Shot through it. There was a lot of housekeeping there.
That was good.
A lot of life tips, a lot of life hacks, some interesting stuff about super glue and going to the toilet at night. What should we label this one, Mark? How to go to the toilet at night? No. Okay, if you want to join in, my Twitter address is @TimLovejoy. Email address, TimLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com.
DearLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com. DearLovejoyPodcast@gmail.com,
yes. We've also like you to subscribe, and we'd like you to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes.
One last thing before we go.
Yeah.
Now, you used to badger me quite a lot about the certificates, right?
Yeah. Have you printed them off yet?
And suddenly, the ball's in your court, and you've been very quiet about it.
Where are they?
I've sent them all to you.
Have you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I don't seem to remember getting them. If you are waiting for a certificate, we will print them out soon. I can't do it today because Mark and myself are going out now. So we'll do it next week or the week after, and we'll get them sent to you. I apologise on behalf of Mark. We'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.